Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. This is Winter with the Shift Spotlight. And today we are here with Jim Silbernagle. He is the CEO and founder of Silbernagle Group Advisors and can be found at sgadvisor.net. So welcome to the show, Jim.
Hey, thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so we're going to dive into what you do. But before we do that, why don't you share with us an interesting fact about you that people may not know?
Well, the thing is, it has to do with what I'm doing for a living, because if someone told me in high school that this is what I'd be doing, I'd probably have to take them out to the parking lot to defend my honor. So, and now we've gone completely full circle, because now I'm very passionate about what I do and helping and serving people. And way back when I had the same ideas about insurance people, investment people. You know, I thought they were all snake oil salesmen. And so I've come quite full circle since then. And it was right after high school that I got involved in this business. So it's kind of interesting.
So tell our listeners what it is that you do.
So, you know, I hate to use some of the buzz terms that are always used, you know, comprehensive, wealth advisor, and things like that, because that's what everybody says. But really what we are is kind of a family office. We are kind of the coordinator, the quarterback of all the issues surrounding the client. And the clients that we serve best are ones that value a team approach and value advice. And, we help them save time by coordinating all the team of professionals they need, because it's almost like a waterbed. You push on one end, it's rippling on the other. And unfortunately, people are so busy today to put all that stuff together and anticipate beyond just today. But what about 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now? And I always say begin with the end in mind, but it seems like too many people are just in their lane and they're not communicating.
Yeah, yeah. And I get what you're talking about, because I mean, you know, I drive and I see like the insurance guy billboard, you know, yeah. and then I see like the realtor billboard, right? And it's just like, gosh, you know, I mean, and I grew up in the car industry. So you want to talk about stigmas being attached to, I mean, my dad did it, all my brothers do it, you know, stigmas no. attached to industries, but those industries are there for a reason. And those industries are mainly centered around helping people. It's just that they've sort of gotten a bad rap over time, right?
Absolutely. And some of it is well-deserved.
Yes. You know, fair enough. You know, I saw some things in the car business I would rather not share.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of times people are transactional. I know when I grew up in the business, it was like, you need to be a master of one thing. Just make sure you're an expert and you only do one thing. Don't get distracted. Don't be a, jack of all trades, master of none, and all that right. kind of stuff. Right. But and all the conferences I would go to, it says stay in your lane, stay in your lane, stay in your lane. Well, one of the problems is all these different teams of professionals that help people, they're all told the same thing. And it's almost like it went to stay in your lane so much you don't talk to anybody else. And they feel threatened by the other professionals sometimes. So they'd rather just come in, do their stuff, and not rock anybody's world, and take the time to really understand, well, how does this fit in the general overall picture, if they've even taken time to get the general overall picture? So it's an industry as a whole. And I look at, you know, a lot of people, like one of the most important people on the team is the tax advisor. But so many of them are just looking in the rearview mirror. And it's like, well, we can just kick the can down the road on this year's tax and we'll worry about everything else later. If they even do that, a lot of them just prepare the returns. They're not even counseling their clients. And it's amazing. I had a client not so long ago was looking to sell his business, and I got referred in by another friend, and he's like, I already talked to eight financial advisors. You know,
Oof.
I'm done interviewing them. And my buddy's like, well, this guy's really helped me out. You should just talk to him. And he says, well, why should I talk to him? And we're on the phone together. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, in about 15 minutes, I'll be able to determine whether I can help you or not, and whether or not you want my help. So we should get together. And when we got together, I asked him, because he interviewed eight financial advisors. He's got a CPA, he's got his business broker, he's got the attorney representing him on the transaction. And I said, okay, what strategies have they recommended to you when you sell your business that's going to help you save on the taxes? He said, and he's like, what are you talking about? I said, well, what strategies are you? You know, you're not just going to pay the full tax when it sells, are you? He goes, well, isn't that what you have to do? And I said, no. I mean, and the ship had already sailed. You know, this planning should start when you start your business, even just by how you structure your business and how you set up the legal entity. You want to have the end in mind, so you don't have this big tax bomb in the future. But at any rate, in his case, you know, a number of the ships had already sailed of strategies that we would have, because he was literally supposed to close in like 2 weeks. And we had a couple different things. And I said, well, I think we could probably save 3 to 4 million on your in taxes. And he's like, well, I can't believe that. And I said, well, you know, we could probably save more, but you know, that's a diversity of some tax strategies I think would not have too much concentration risk, and we should take a look at it. He's like, well, why haven't any of these other people talked to us about it? And it's because it doesn't make them bad financial advisors, maybe not even a bad accountant, but the lane that they were in, you know, they were limiting themselves to their lane and not bringing someone else in that might be able to help that client. And whether that's fear they might lose the client, or maybe they just don't know. And then are they being the best they can be? You know, so those are the things that almost drive me bonkers, but it keeps me extremely busy.
That's good. And so you said you're a family office. What does that mean?
So a lot of folks that are really extremely high net worth, you know, maybe in the hundreds of millions or whatever, they'll have their own CPA as an employee. They'll have their estate tax attorney as a CPA. Their business structure, their financial advisors are all employees of the family. And so, you know, they got access to a lot of advice. And you know, they look at that thing, if I'm going to do this over here, how's it going to affect everything else? And they got this whole team that works together to optimize whatever they're doing to get to whatever goals that they might have. So typically we see first generation and even second generation wealth, especially with the family businesses involved. They're so busy working in the business that they never work on the business, and they never take the time to think about it. And if you've got 90% of your net worth tied into the business, and if you're the superstar that makes that business run, you're in a vulnerable position if you haven't figured out a succession plan for the business and what planning you're doing for keeping the assets that you have and the places you want them to go, whether it's family, charitable legacy, whatever. So the thing is, people don't have the time, or a lot of times the expertise, to discern who the experts really are. So we have a collaborative team of people that we work with all throughout the country that we bring in as we need to. We're just kind of the ones that go there, do all the prodding, do all the investigation. And it's kind of like almost like a general practitioner, with a lot of a knowledge that's extremely dangerous. You know, and then we, you know, once we have the diagnosis, then we figure out who the specialists are that we bring in to work together with and communicate with to make sure we get the best result.
Gotcha. Okay. So you kind of said in there, one of those little key phrases, work in the business, not on the business. Do you run on EOS?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And it's amazing because I've gone to so many conferences through the years. I'm celebrating my 40th year in the business this year. And it's,
Just curious, how many people in your industry make it to 40 years?
well, you'd probably be amazed because if you ever went to one of our conferences, I'm one of the
I know
youngest
where this is
kids in
headed. I can already
the
tell where this one's headed.
room. I'm one of the youngest kids in the room. So, but at
Wow.
any rate, it's an amazing thing. I've gone to all these conferences, listened to best practices, how to run your business, all this stuff, and they all talked about getting a coach. Well, for years, I didn't feel like I'm from the Midwest. I'm cheap. I didn't feel like investing in a coach. I thought that was a grand waste of money because I already knew all this stuff that they talk about, right? And it's all common sense. And I had a good friend of mine in the business that I respect, and I was kind of stuck because I was on a journey to make myself replaceable in the business. And I got about 70% of the way there, and I'm just like, man, I just can't seem to break through. I can't get to where I feel I need to be. And my friend recommended EOS, and I think he ended up hiring the founder as the coach for his organization. Well, I was still on the cheap side, so I didn't want to go all in. But I did get a really good coach, one of the first 14 folks with EOS, and brought him in, and the aha light went on almost immediately. It's like, yeah, he's not here to teach me anything. He's really here to make me accountable, to make sure this stuff keeps moving forward. And he also helped me let go a little bit because as the owner and the founder, nobody can do it as good as you.
That's right.
It taught me that, yeah, nobody could do it the same as me. Most of them could do it better. So it's been transformational in our business, and
You've
we've
been running
built.
on it for a long time then.
No,
No.
I think
Okay.
we're on our third or fourth year.
Okay. All right. Well, you said you had one of the first 14 coaches, so I was just thinking.
Well, we had one of the first. He's still with them, so he
Gotcha.
started a long time ago, and even
Gotcha.
prior to that, he was a business coach for many years,
Okay.
and so it's been transformational. And we've also put in some things in place, like there's a culture index. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's also been a game changer, not only in the hiring process, but then also optimizing, getting people on the bus and then making sure they're in the right seats. So
Yeah.
really getting people where they can really excel and do their best work. And one of our core values is have fun.
Yeah.
And when everybody's enjoying what they're doing, everybody's clear on what's expected of them, and everything's kind of working together and the team's all working together, people have a lot of fun here. So it's all working.
That's funny. GCE, that's one of our core values as well.
Okay.
So yeah, we have
That's
had fun in
awesome.
there too. So okay, so are you the integrator or do you have an integrator?
So I'm the visionary and my daughter is the integrator.
Okay.
And so she's gone to a lot of the EOS stuff. She keeps bringing stuff back. She's just done a great job. And it's amazing because I never expected my daughter to be in that position. She's got a marketing degree and I just thought she could help market the business.
Yeah.
Never saw her as really kind of running things.
Yeah.
And the thing I told her when she started, I said, you're going to have to work harder than anybody here because you're the boss's daughter and you're going to have to earn the respect. And it took a while, but since we implemented EOS, I think she's finally got the buy-in from everybody. But prior to that, she really struggled and it was a challenge for her, and I'm glad she's still with me.
You do flail in roles like that until something kind of gives you the blueprint the way that EOS does, right? And
Yep.
so even for very seasoned people, I mean, my background's in marketing and public relations. I did it for years and years, but it is such a great tool to use to be able to y take whatever it is you're doing and give it real purpose, I believe.
Absolutely. I know one thing with EOS that we took advantage of almost immediately, the people analyzer. I mean, we were absolutely horrible at hiring people and firing people. And the way the market is today or the job market's been for now it's years, trying to find good people is almost an impossible task. And I don't know if you know of Gina Pellegrini. She wrote the book The Hiring Advantage. And I've known her for a long time. And she said, "Let me see if I can describe your hiring process." And she goes, "All right, you get this person in here, you tell them about a great company you have and all the opportunities they're going to have. And, this is just going to be fantastic. Would you like the job?" And they say, "Yeah." And you're like, "Great." Okay. And then you never talk to them again. And so they come in and it's like, "Well, what am I supposed to do? And how am I supposed to do it?" And we haven't taken the time as small business owners, at least, to kind of figure that out. And like, I'm the rainmaker. I'm getting people excited about coming in. And, and it's, I hate to break it down this way, but in our industry, we don't get paid unless you take action. And then once you get that client on board, now it's, find the next client and the next client. So she's like, "Yeah, you just treat them like a client. As soon as they say yes, you're on to the next and you abandon them." And so we're the worst people to be hiring, we're the worst people to be managing.
No, you're not. You're honestly not. All companies are the worst people at hiring. All companies are the worst people at managing. It's just, because most people don't ever start out thinking about the people aspect of the business. It's just as you grow, you need support, you bring somebody in, I actually had this conversation recently with one of my vendors that works for me, and their assistant is awful. I mean, horrible. Doesn't know how to send calendar invites right. Messes up things. When I say I'm a real hit it, quit it person. So I'll say things like, delete all emails associated with this and send me the one that you want me to look at. Whichever one is the one I'm supposed to look at, that product, let me see that product. And then they sent the wrong product.
Wow.
And so we get on a call, Ken and I, with this person, and we're like looking at it and we're like, yeah, the pages aren't lining up. And all of a sudden we realize we're not looking at the same thing they are. And we are just like, you know what? You're wasting our time. Forget about it. Click, And I literally took this person out to lunch 2 days ago. And it was a very strong conversation. It was, you are about to lose me because I believe you are giving this person too much weight. I believe you are putting your convenience of having to go rehire somebody in front of my convenience as the client. And it is going to cost you a client. She cost you a sale because that product we didn't buy that day because it was presented wrong. And if you're okay with that, that's fine. But what if she's costing me money by being on your team? And I have never been that straight. And it's like, I want to say things like, it's your company, run it the way you want to run it. But at the end of the day, when I'm the client and it's the service that I'm missing out on, and it's because he doesn't know how to hire, he trusts her. And that's all she's got. He's got trust with her, but he does not have somebody who gets it, who knows what they're doing, who moves the needle, who makes his life easier. It's a perceived making his life easier.
Yeah.
So,
And it is amazing in using that, because we had a gal that was the life of every party in our office. And everybody liked her, great, but that was the only core value that she had, was having fun.
Have
But
fun.
people started to, accommodate or fill in for her, and because it was easier to do that than deal with the way she dealt with everybody. And we went through that people analyzer. And literally, the whole leadership team, we decided, yeah, we need to fire her. We left the meeting and we had a meeting with her and let her go. And obviously, she was really disappointed, but she was relieved at the end of the day, and she found a job that was a better fit for her. So it was a win for her. She was costing us so much time because stuff that she did had to be redone and was
Time is
putting
money.
stress on other employees. And so that was like a game changer. And we took a leap of faith, because it's like, man, who's going to do the work? And it's like, well, she's not really doing the work now. Everybody's redoing her work. So it was going to be fine. So it ended up being, it's just win-win. And that's one of the things that EOS gave us, was the confidence that we just need to move forward and trust the system. And it's been fantastic.
And so you said your leadership team, how many people are on your leadership team?
It's kind of evolving. And one thing about our business, like, we have a tax practice here, we have the financial firm, we've got an insurance firm, so we got all these different firms. So it's evolved over the years, but right now it's four people on our leadership team.
And how would you say that with that, and especially in different sort of industries almost, how do you drive accountability in your business to make sure that you're getting what you want as the CEO and the visionary?
So my daughter's done a really good job of creating accountability charts. And even though we have these separate businesses, some of them is for tax reasons, some of them it's compliance. In the securities business, we're required to get our employees registered and everything. And even if they're affiliated, and it's doggone expensive. So separating some of that is, a lot of these business purposes. So the thing is, we really work kind of as one team, but we definitely have separate duties based on what business they're representing and the processes that need to be done. So there's leaders, team leaders, for most of the different divisions. And so they have their L10s, and then we just have the leadership L10 and just kind of try to do a good job of keeping it high level, which probably took us a good year and a half, 2 years before we really started getting good at it.
Yeah, no, it's not that easy to go high level, right? I mean, it
It's.
really, but I mean, even Ken and I, Ken runs DCE, I run the podcast, but I mean, we are running EOS in our in our business and what we do, and we're also doing it in our life as well too. And it's just like, sometimes whether it's him going down with details or me, it's like, no, high level, we got to just keep it. It is actually harder than you realize. Trying just to keep
No.
it and not dive into those details.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience, distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
I just have to share this with you. So, the same friend that introduced me to EOS, I happened to be visiting with him this last summer. And I asked him, any good books or anything new that you've done that you think is a game changer? And he talked about the book Profit First.
Yeah.
And I do audiobooks on tape. That's the only way I can pay attention long
Same
enough.
with Ken.
And I speed it up so I can get through it quick. But
Same.
that thing was a slap in the face, an aha moment. Because as a business owner, I never really worried about profit. I just figured, well, you do the right thing and it'll take care of itself. And it always has. And he says, man, Jim, since we implemented this, he said, we are doggone profitable. And I'm thinking to myself, I always tell my clients, pay yourself first, pay yourself first. And now we're building that in. And it's just transformational. I mean, it's just
So
a
what is
little
the name of
thing.
the book again? I'll Google it.
Profit First.
Okay. We always love good books. That was going to be one of my questions, but you've already Michael Lowicz, looks like. Is that
I'm not sure about the author. I don't have it in front of me,
Perfect.
but
That's okay. Okay. What's been the most difficult part of your CEO journey and how have you handled it?
boy, that's a great question. It just depends, I guess, when you would ask me.
Fair, 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 fair answer. It changes, right?
Yeah, I'll have to tell you, probably the most challenging thing in our business, you're either overseen by the SEC and you're a registered investment advisor or registered investment advisor representative, or you're overseen by the broker-dealer world as a registered rep. And we kind of wear both hats because there's tools in each toolbox that are important with some of the solutions that we do. And I was with a major firm, and in our business, there's been a mass consolidation, and you've got these mega firms that are forming where they're buying up all these other broker dealers. And now, the broker dealer that I started with way back when, they started, they maybe had 300 or 400 advisors, and now they've been bought out. They grew and were bought out several times. And now they're with a broker dealer that has like 15,000 advisors. And the problem that occurred is they were bought out. One of the buyouts that ended up happening, they were bought out by a venture capital firm. And the first thing they did was just cut half the staff. And I was used to, because we do a high level of business, I was used to having a dedicated service team at that home office. And it went from, where I would send stuff in and could forget about it, to then never knowing if it would ever get there because
Chasing it.
business was separated and sent to different parts of the country. And so that has been the most challenging thing is I can't rely on my service partners the way I used to. Now I changed who I was affiliated with to a smaller office, but all these companies are having the same problem. And that is, they're not intending to give poor service, but compliance, regulations, all that stuff. And what you all have to do to even do business, no matter what business you're in, there's all these challenges. And then you're relying on the people that you're working with, and they're having a hard time hiring good people. I mean, just look at, of all things, the IRS. We have a tax practice. Our employees, and we have a direct line as tax providers, and we'll sit on hold all day, and then it'll just hang up, and then you try again. I can't imagine as a taxpayer what you got to do. And they have the same problem we all have, and it's a kind of a chain reaction. So I would say that's been the biggest problem. And we have a level of service expectation that we end up hiring a person, they're working almost full time. All they do is check on transactions and make sure people were did them the way they were supposed to. So that's probably the most challenging thing. I and it's frustrating. I feel like my hands are sometimes tied behind my back, but I will say it's starting to get better.
I will also say too, in your industry and real estate, there's always some disruptor out there trying to disrupt these types of industries, right? So, I mean, you kind of feel like a ping pong ball because it's this regulation now in your world, and now it's that regulation, and the same thing with real estate, right? I mean, it's so you're up against that too, I think.
And then I think going forward, like AI, I mean, I've seen our industry is in the top 25 to be replaced by AI. Now, I believe that that's true for the way most people are doing business this way, because if all they're doing is gathering assets and saying, oh, based on your risk profile, you should have this portfolio, I mean, they're not really doing a lot of value add that AI couldn't do. But it's going to be challenging, and we're building things to really take advantage of that opportunity. Because right now, I see that as greatest opportunity.
I agree for everybody. And
Absolutely.
it's you can embrace this and make it part of what you're doing, or you can reject this, but rejection breeds obsession. And you're going to find that the world is going to get very obsessed with why your industry or your company or your whatever is rejecting it. And so there's huge opportunities, I mean, to be had, but it is a mindset shift, I think, with people more than anything. And from my own personal experience with AI and finances, there are things it's done really well. Like I'm like, oh, calculate how much taxes I'll owe based on this, and I'll upload like, my tax returns, and then I'll upload my P&L, and with this conservation easement, what do you think the liability is going to be, or whatever it is. And it has downright missed huge key aspects that were clear as day in the tax return. And I'm like, wait, hold on. You missed this. And it's like, you're right. I did see where you paid this and blah, 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 blah. But, and it's like, so if I would have trusted that, I would have been in a bad way. And I don't think AI will ever replace service and relationships. And you come from a long line of sales. I come from a very long line of sales. And We all know that sales is a relationship business, and that is something like AI. We were watching the show on Netflix yesterday, and the guy's like starting to have a relationship with his AI tool. I'm sorry, that's TV. It doesn't really work like that. I'm not going to have a relationship with ChatGPT. It's not going to bring me the same thing if I were to call you and say, "Why did I lose X or win X? You know, what did we do? What do we need to shift?" AI is not going to give me that same level of transparency and like sometimes what you just need to hear.
Yep. And
So.
the thing is, what I've seen is something like 70 to 80%, even of the younger generations, still want a human involved when it comes to major transactions. But AI, and as you mentioned, you got to be really careful. You know, I've had clients look things up on AI and it hasn't been accurate. You know, so
Totally, totally.
right.
I am. So.
So, but right now, my understanding is AI doesn't really exist yet. When it does, then we got to brace ourselves. And but if we're not embracing the AI and how we can incorporate in that and leverage how it can make us more efficient, you're going to be a dinosaur. You know, you're going to go the way of the dinosaurs. And I'm a guy that resisted technology, and in part of my transition and going to a new broker dealer was awful. And then COVID hit, and just before COVID, I made a decision. I need to embrace technology, and maybe I'll never have to use it, but at least my staff will have those tools, and
Right.
things like, you know, high speed internet and large screen TVs and high definition cameras and all that stuff, so we could do virtual meetings. And I literally installed that 4 months before the COVID lockdown started, with no
Good for you.
idea that anything like that would ever happen.
Way to go.
So getting a little bit ahead of the curve definitely is something everybody should be figuring out. And right now, we're kind of in the process of trying to define a job description for someone that's going to help us leverage AI.
Very cool. I mean that's cool. So,
Yep.
all right, one question here. If you had to do it all over again, speaking to a younger self or a less experienced self, what would your advice be? You started the podcast actually talking about being in this at 18. So what would you say to your 18-year-old self?
Well, I probably would say leverage your knowledge sooner. You know, one thing I did, you know, you mentioned I did a podcast for a long time. I'm still doing it. And I actually looked at it as I am so passionate about education and financial literacy. I think a lot of our nation's problems wouldn't exist if people understood, you know, balance sheets, like balancing a checkbook and stuff. I look at the government, it's of the people, by the people.
I'm just gonna say this too. I mean, we still, let's see, where's my camera?
Oh,
We
that's pretty cool.
still run on checkbooks in this house. Well, in my house anyways.
So
I
you're old school. So,
am old school. I do it online, but the checkbook is just a cross-reference online and not miss anything big.
oh,
But
absolutely.
it's just an extra set of eyes.
That's just awesome. So one thing is, so it was kind of scaring me because, you know, if we don't have our own household in order and we don't balance our checkbooks and we max out our credit cards, well, how in the heck are we going to hold our government officials in check? And so it's no surprise to me we are where we are. And so I just thought my mission in life was to improve financial literacy in this country. And so I did it any way, ways and means I could. And I try to do it altruistically, where I would just give it back. I had, you know, everything was free, you know, and then I, you know, started subsidizing that to the tune of maybe a couple $100,000 a year. And I had some friends that I know and trust, and they said to me, Jim, you know, what's going to happen when you're gone? Your mission's gone. It's okay to charge people for value. And so my younger self, not that I would say to be greedy or anything, but when you're giving back, make sure you do it in a sustainable way and you think beyond just today. And so it's amazing it took me this long to gain some of that wisdom, but I'm having fun and you know, things are going great. So that's about the only thing.
Okay. Well, and we'll wrap up with this question. If somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Well, I would just pick up the phone, give us a call or email us. it,
And I'm
it
going to say
doesn't.
that email again, sgadvisor.net. Said it
That's
better this
right.
time.
And our phone number 262-626-8892. We serve clients all over the country. We've got relationships all over the country. And if you just want to do a check and see, is there something we can do to save taxes, or you got this thing gnawing at you? I don't have a business succession plan, or I don't even have a will written yet. I mean, there are so many different things we can do. And even if you're just thinking about what if I transition here or there, how would that impact me? And is there any way I can either, if it's a good impact, can I leverage it? If it's a bad impact, can I minimize it? We don't charge to assess the situation.
Yeah.
So if we can be of help, great.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks so much for being here. I really enjoyed this conversation. So, thanks for being on the show.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.